No, but I really want to make sure that people understand that it's not the physical act of doing the exercise that's making you stronger. It's what happens afterward. It's the recovery from that stress. And I just want to highlight some warning signs. I don't know, warning signs. Mm-hmm. <It's a> little, some signs that you might be in need of a deload week. Okay. If you don't already have someone doing your training and your programming, you know, you're just kind of doing it on your own. If you're hitting regular plateaus, that's a sign it's time to deload. The big question is this. In a world of fake Instagram models and fad diets, how do real people achieve their fitness goals? We are an army of hardworking women changing their lives through fitness and health. Wherever you are at on your journey, we have the answers to how to make working out and eating well a part of your life. Join us in changing the dialogue for women everywhere. Welcome to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast. I'm Kelsey.
I'm Rachel, and wasn't that so seamless? Every time you do it, it's so seamless. And every time I do it, it's like,
we have to restart.
Start over.
That's okay. You're just a little impatient. But we do have an exciting episode for you guys today. All right. So I think it's exciting because I like to talk about training and how we can maximize our training and what is, you know, like, what are the ways to do that? Because a lot of times this is done for you. And if it's not done for you, you don't know to look for it. And a lot of people are in these kind of like cycles of training that just seem to never end or have like ebbs and flows, or they think the ebbs and flows are not normal or or they're not looking for them. So I get excited about this podcast a little because it's like how to get the sexy stuff about training, but talking about the like not so sexy stuff of ways to get there.
Well, I like this episode because I'm hoping that by the end of it that I can convince you that you need deloads. My whole goal here is to convince Kelsey by the end to just take a deload week without stamping and crying like a little baby.
Oh my God, it's so bad. And I admit this and I try and have self-talks about it. And I don't know if other people are out there with me that like deload weeks are sometimes more stressful than training weeks. Where you're like, I don't want to do it. I'm sad about it. I'm mad about it. And now I'm just like stressing about the fact that I'm mad about it and figuring out ways to skip it. But yes, by the end, hopefully.
So here's the thing, and I'm going to convince you of this by the end, is that if you are not currently taking deload weeks, if you've never heard of a deload week, if you don't have anyone doing your programming for you, if you just kind of go to the gym and do your own thing every day and you don't have scheduled rest in, we are going to convince you by the end of this podcast that you are making a dire mistake and your training is absolutely 100% suffering as a result. Now, I don't go off the deep end with many things. Like, I'm never like all the way on, okay, I have no compromising on this subject. Like, I'm very often like, hey, there's something for everyone and we all have different bodies and we all need different things. We all have different goals. But I will not compromise on the fact that every single person who is training consistently must have a consistent deload schedule. And if they don't, they are setting. And the reason why I'm so off the deep end on this is because your health and safety is at risk. And that's why I get really passionate about educating on this topic, because it's not just like, hey, to each their own, you know, you got to do what makes you tick. No, we're talking about injuries that could take you out of health and fitness for a while. And I can't allow that. I can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, because then it comes down to like if we're repairing connective tissue, if we're restoring the testosterone levels, the cortisol ratios, like we're talking, because I know you get passionate about the health of your bodies and longevity when it comes to being able to fitness, because that's what it's all about, is the longevity of your life, the longevity of and the quality of your life, and the ability to be able to continue to fitness essentially for the rest of your life. But if we make some of these mistakes early on or throughout our training, we're doing ourselves a disservice.
Really are. And not only that, but you're prolonging reaching your goals, because the fact is that we need deload. So, okay, first of all, what is a deload week, or what is deloading in a cycle, or what is deloading in your training? So there is a difference. I just want to highlight, there is a difference between deload and rest days. Now, rest days are days that are scheduled into your regular weekly programming, right? So we're not working out 7 days a week. That's absurd. We are scheduling rest days in our actual daily programming, in which we take a day off from the gym. Or two. A deload, though, is different. This is time where, first of all, it's a full week, 7 days, Kelsey, a full week. You hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you still go to the gym on your deload. And the thing that I love about deload is that the habits that you know, we talk so much about the importance of habits and how they really make or break the consistency that everybody is hoping to find when it comes to fitness in the gym. So the thing I love about deload is it leaves those habits in place. It's not like, because I think this happens to a lot of people, they think they take a week off from the gym and then they'll never go back, right? And I know that feeling. Like, so a deload week is you're still going to the gym, but the volume and or the intensity of your workouts are purposefully decreased.
So you're not abandoning training altogether. This allows your body to recover by your muscles totally repairing, returning your hormone levels back to normal, and giving your CNS, your central nervous system, a little bit of a rest. Now, something we don't think about when we're going into our workouts is that our CNS is going to be affected during every training session. And even if you're not, if you think like, well, I don't know, like that workout wasn't physically that hard, the mental, like how your cortisol levels are increasing during your training, your central nervous system is getting work because everything has risen during your exercise. Like everything has taken a little bit of a toll, which is a great thing for your body. It should absolutely happen. But the idea that we can continue to raise those without allowing them to repair is where we start to make our mistakes, because you don't get stronger by exercise. You get stronger by recovering from exercise, which is something that we don't like to, because when we're
we
don't get stronger by exercise. We get stronger by recovering from exercise.
Let's go. No, but I really want to make sure that people understand that it's not the physical act of doing the exercise that's making you stronger. It's what happens afterward. It's the recovery from that stress. And I just want to highlight some warning signs. I don't know, warning signs. Mm-hmm. Some signs that you might be in need of a deload week. Okay. If you don't already have someone doing your training and your programming, you know, you're just kind of doing it on your own. If you're hitting regular plateaus, that's a sign it's time to deload. If you have any overuse injuries, now overuse injuries would be like that shoulder that is always kind of hurting and lacking range of motion, my knees that are always kind of sore. These are really common when you have like people with repetitive kind of fitness, runners, right? Runners know what an overuse injury is. This is a sign you need to deload. If you have a consistent lack of motivation. Now, I'm not talking about one day. I'm talking about like dreading your sessions every single day and not being able to get up for them. And then lastly, if you are having consistent lackluster workouts. Now, this does not mean that you're going in for one off day and you're like, wow, I freaking suck that day. What the hell? I'm talking about consistently, session after session, you're underperforming and not understanding why. These are all signs that you are in dire need of a deload week. So Kelsey talked about don't get stronger.
Can I add one more?
Oh, yeah.
Just because you I think a know. Lot of people. Chronic tendonitis. And Rachel like touched on that a little bit. But I think a lot of people have this idea that that's just like part of their life and their body. But if you've developed like if you chronically develop tendonitis, deload weeks are 100% part of your solution.
So I love that you highlighted about how you got stronger and fitter, and it's actually the recovering aspect of exercise. But I also want to just put forward, like when we talk about why deload weeks are necessary, I just want to put, I forget, like, I don't know if the scientific theory has like a name or if it's just like a thing, but I don't know what the name of it is, but it's basically the formula for how any organism adapts and grows. And that means like, how you get better, fitter, stronger in this scenario. So like step one is that you provide a stimulus. Now this is agreed on by like all scientists. You provide a stimulus, and in our case, it's going to be exercise. So you give the stimulus of exercise. Then step two, this is a very important step. You remove the stimulus, which is basically rest and deload. You take it away. Then step three, when you bring it back, the organism adapts better to handle the stimulus. That's called supercompensation. And if you think about it, this works on basically anything, but fitness is not immune to it. It is 100% a formula of pushing yourself just a little beyond what you're capable of, pulling it back, taking it away. And then the next time you go and do something like that, now, obviously, this is on a time model, right? This takes time and it's not linear. But the next time you provide that same stimulus, it will be easier. You will be better adapted. And that is how you fitness, right? But I think a lot of people are missing step two.
Yeah, because it's not the sexy step. So there, one in three are the ones that we can rally around almost, and like that are kind of sexy. You know, step one is like the exercise. That's a new start. That's the stuff that we essentially are going to enjoy doing. And that's like the meat and the potatoes kind of a thing. That's how we think about it. And then step three, after the recovery, because step three can only come after two, you can do things like PR your lift. You can, or even a workout, you're getting faster, you PR your mile time. And those things happen after the adaptation. So after you have the, you know, stimulus and the rest, you're able to reap the benefits of both of those things. But the problem is that we want to do one without allowing the recovery. And we still want to get the results. Like we still want, it's like buying the chicken, not cooking it, but then wanting to be like, well, I want dinner. Like, you can't skip the middle step.
You cannot. And I've had to have this explained to me by many a coach, because I've had really big goals and just been of the mindset that the harder I work towards them, that is going to yield success. And the best way I've ever had a coach describe this to me is think of training or exercise like digging a hole, and rest is filling the hole back in. So basically, you show up to a session, you dig a hole so far down. Now, this is based on, you know, how hard you're training, right? And then your rest or your deload is you're going to fill the hole back in with just a little bit more on top. So it gets a little bit harder to dig a deeper hole every time, right? That's what the whole adaptation model is. But think of it like this. If you're just digging a hole and you're never filling it back in, you're in deep shit, basically. You're in a deep
hole.
You're
in a big hole. you didn't push it in the hole. You're just sitting in a big hole. Yeah. I mean, I love that analogy. See, here's the thing. In our society, we do a work harder, faster, that's good, that's going to yield more success. And we talked about this in the Success Isn't Linear episode, where, you know, the just because you're on the hamster, just because you're working harder at something doesn't mean it's going to yield success. And it doesn't have that straightforward, do this work, get this success, this equals this. That's just not how it works. So we want it to work like that. And we want it to work like that for a lot of things. So we think, you know, the harder we work, the more successful we'll be, when work smarter, not harder came about for a reason, because we can work smarter to get the results that we're looking for. And it's not just this endless hamster wheel.
So now that we've convinced you that you need it, let's talk a little bit more about the nitty. Oh, I've convinced you, right, Kelsey?
Oh, yeah. I'm so
let's
convinced.
Talk about the nitty gritty of how to actually incorporate this, right? Like, how should we put this in? Now, first of all, I'm going to say straight up, and I've said this consistently the whole way, that you need to have someone else that is experienced in exercise science doing your programming. That is, so in a perfect world, you don't even have to think about deload because your programmer is deloading for you when it's appropriate.
Yes. And you just need to follow it.
That is a perfect world.
You just need to not add in.
I said it to my son.
This is not for you to worry about.
All you have to do is just follow the directions. Right. So then that's in a perfect world. But like, if you are doing your own programming and you're saying like, but you know, I am interested in deloading and I do want to know how to do it. So one thing that I want to just highlight, first of all, is how often you deload is very much going to vary. Now, this is not one thing that I'm like, I'm standing a hard line on this, because there's so many factors. First of all, your age is a definite factor on how often you should deload. Your training intensity is a serious factor. If you are training in a very intense way and you are pushing beyond your limits on a daily basis, that is going to need more deload than somebody who is kind of a little bit more low level cardio. I'm breaking a sweat, but kind of just barely. And because there's all different forms of how we work out and what we enjoy. And those are going to need different amounts of deloads. And then of course your other life factors, right? Like, we can't ignore that there's major stressors and things in your life that may need to adjust your deload schedule. But a basic rule of thumb is that the more advanced an athlete you are, Kelsey, are you listening?
Yep. Yeah, I'm listening.
The more advanced athlete you are, the more deload frequency you need. So if you are brand new to fitness, just starting out, you are not going to need the frequency of deload that Kelsey is going to need. A baseline for a super advanced athlete that's on an extremely aggressive training schedule, I would deload once every 4 weeks. So like 3 weeks on, 1 week deload. For someone who is just starting out in fitness and really hasn't even touched their real potential and what they can do because they're still learning and their body mechanics aren't there, their technique isn't there yet to really max out, you're going to be on more like a 1 every 8 week schedule. So it definitely is going to vary, but it's got to be in there.
Yeah. And I think when I know you highlighted this a little bit before, but when we're talking about a deload week, it's not that you're not going and it's not that it's just rest. It's just a shift of a focus on some different things. So it might look like this, because some of you who may be following programming, or if you follow TTSL, we tell you when it's a deload week, but you might just notice it in some other ways. When you see a lot of percentage work, you'll see 50-60% with your reps, because we're still having you go through those movements. We want to keep good mechanics there, just not overload with the stimulus. So when it comes to like some things that aren't, again, they're not the funnest, like rowing, if you're on a rower and you're doing like a 2K row at just an easy pace where you're not pushing, you're not sprinting, you're not overloading your stimulus, you're getting some breathing in, and that would be part of a deload week because you're just getting some good movement in, 70%-ish, 50, 60, 70%-ish, and that's what your numbers percentage-wise might look like. You're doing some deadlifts or some back squats, you might have 3 to 5 reps in that range of 60%. That's what that looks like. And then the focus also might be on some different mobility things, which are equally as important as your workouts, is doing things like mobility work. And that is during a deload week is a great time to put some extra focus on the mobility, A, because you might have a little extra time in your session, and because your muscles are not under such strain, ideally during those weeks, that they have the ability, you're not tightening all those knots you have in your thighs and your quads. They're not what they're starting to relax a little bit so that your mobility is just a little bit more effective.
Yeah, there's two ways that I will typically program deload. It will either be decrease load or decrease volume. So I'll either let athletes like lift normal percentages, but I'll way cut down the reps, or I will keep their reps around the same, but I will put them at a 50 to 60. That's their cap, not 70, Kelsey. I heard you say 70. No, I always, always keep it. And and their perceived exhaustion too in a workout. So like when they start their Metcon, they may still have timed workouts during a deload week, but their perceived exhaustion, like they would be, okay, I might let them get to 70 in a workout, but their perceived exhaustion would need to be under 70%. So they would never be like balls to the wall going crazy. And often I'll program conversational workouts during deloads as well, which is like, I won't let them get above a conversational pace. So if you can no longer hold a comfortable conversation during this workout, you are going too hard. You need to back it off a little bit, whether that means weight or intensity or speed. So I want to leave with the fact that I want everybody here to remember, you guys, your body doesn't give a shit how long you think it should take to recover. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So whatever perceptions you have out there about like, well, it really should be recovering faster than that, and it really should only take a week, and it really should only need once every 8 weeks. It really should only need that. So the ligaments don't care.
They don't care what your mind says it should. They don't care. And I think that's something that like that I've had to sit in self conversations with being like, well, the fact that you think you should be able to go hard this many times a week after you've had a stressful day at work, after you have been living in a pandemic, after you have whatever it is that your body and yourself as a whole has been experiencing, the fact that you think you should be able to then have a physical strain to a certain level, your body doesn't care. And it will, if you continue to work against it, it will break down faster and it will break down harder. You'll have blown tires instead of need an oil change. So point of a deload is to get out in front of that and realize that we can take care of our bodies in a maintenance way so that we can continue, you know, if your body's a car, we can continue that car riding at an optimal place, at a place where it has a good oil change, has good tires, and we're not going to blow out all of those along the way because we have maintained them. And I think that's been something that for those of us who set goals for ourselves and we say, well, I should be able to do this. And if I do more, I'll get faster. And sometimes you have to just sit back and say like, well, what's my body actually saying right now? And does that align with my should blaming and expectations? And how can I adjust that to work with what my body is doing and what we know. And that's part of why we did this podcast too, because sometimes you have to understand why there's a deload week there programmed for you. And it's not to hold you back, because I think that's what I thought of it for a while. It was holding me back. I could be making progress during that time. And the fact is that if you're not honoring the deload, you're not making the progress.
Ooh, that's a fact. That's a fact. I like that you said that what a deload is getting out in front of the blown tires, because we say this so often that it wasn't the shot of tequila. It was the five beers before. And we always say that when it comes to injury, and the deload is to make sure that you stop at the third beer and you have a good night.
Yeah.
So if you don't have one, get one.
Get one. If you don't have a deload week, well, I mean, you know, you really, I can't say this enough, because like, if you have programming that you trust and is written for you, it should have deload weeks included in there for you. And then all you have to do is follow them. All you have to do is not add something to the end of your session like I do, and not
put it. No, you don't. Rachel, not after this podcast.
No, you don't. I've had Rachel, literally, it's been like a 70-60% day, and she'll see a clip of the workout and be like,
not 70,
not 60%, and it's just me like going, because for a lot of us, working out and fitness is our time that our brain finally shuts off. Like it's like it finally gets a chance to like just not be yelling in there. So when you get in a workout, it's a time and it's quiet. Finally, it's only counting. So then that is like, it's a relief, but also a relief can be for your body. The relief for your body is that deload week.
Take a deload week, follow prescribed programming that has deloads. And if you are on a program that goes without any deloads, you need to severely question the authority of the person that has created that, because the fact is the science does not support that at all. And we are here for the longevity of this, because gains are made over time by recovering from hard workouts. Keep that in mind, and deload will sound so much more sexy, because that's when you're actually making the gains. So keep making them, stay healthy, and deload. We love you.
In our Hey Girl Hey segment from our app CVG Nation, we have Sarah Simmons. On April 14th, she will turn 42 years old. Happy birthday, Sarah. And we have BJ Killen about to hit her 1,000th workout. Hell yeah. BJ, congratulations. Thank you so much for listening to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast. If you'd like to join our movement, head over to the Facebook group and take part in our free weekly workouts for a chance to win some badass gear. Search Fitness Programming by CVG on Facebook. We're in there every day. It's a perfect place to get in touch with us. This podcast is made possible by Constantly Varied Gear, so be sure to check out constantlyvariedgear.com. See you next week. Crush your goals.